I'm excited to get to talk to you today about family health. I totally agree with Jason, and am so grateful to work at a network that, you know, we could fill planter orientation with a lot of skills and a lot of really important things that are important for you to know as a planter. But if you lose your family, you lose your ministry. And so I'm really grateful for a network that not only cares about our pastors and our partners, but also cares about your families. And I have the most fun job here, that I get to serve your wives. I know not all of you are married, so let's start with that conversation. Some of you aren't married, and some of you don't have kids yet. Here's the thing. If you're going to plant a church, you're going to work with a lot of folks who are married and do have kids. And so I really think that there'll be something valuable for you during this time. Hello, hello, friend from Kansas City. I live in Kansas City. My husband's a church planter, and we have four kids. Joy is 19 and a freshman in college. Lydia is 17 and a senior in high school. Back-to-back seniors is not for the faint of heart. If that's you, we're just poor planning on our part. I don't know what. Financially, bad decisions right there. But wonderful kids, but bad financial decisions to try to send two kids to college in a row. Melody is a freshman in high school, and Jackson is in eighth grade. So three girls and a boy. He's either going to be a really sensitive and wonderful husband, or like, take no crap, I've already done this with three sisters type of husband. The jury's kind of out on that. I'm not sure. But that's our family, and we planted in Kansas City 9 years ago. Had a conversation with somebody yesterday about, when are you not a church plant anymore? And I don't know. I think it's a mindset or something, because we are an established church. We even have a building now, but we still kind of feel like we're church planters, you know? We met with a young couple that was joining our church, and they said, we've actually never been a part of an established church. And they had only been a part of church plants. And Dave and I felt like, oh, are you saying we're an established church? Like, oh, we don't self-identify as that yet. But I mean, maybe we'll get there, right? So, but I share a little bit about who I am and where we are family-wise to let you know that the Partons are on this journey, this pursuit of family health with you. We're in it. Not everything I say today is anything that we do perfectly, but that we are striving to do. So the top two questions that we get, that my team gets working with church planting families and from women specifically, is what church planting wives love to ask: what am I supposed to be doing? Which, if you're a smart man, and I think all of you are smart men, you know, when a woman says, what am I supposed to be doing? She doesn't actually want you to tell her what to do. Most women don't really like that. So it's kind of a catch-22 for us when she says, what am I supposed to be doing? It's like, tread lightly, give her some advice, but don't tell her exactly what to do. If you didn't know that yet, you should write that part down. That was free for this session. But and then the second question we get is this going to screw up our kids? What's this supposed to look like for our family? And at the heart of both of those questions is a desire to serve Jesus faithfully and with courage, and also to see our kids walk with Jesus and thrive, and that our ministry would actually bring joy and enhancement to their life and not just be a burden for them. And so I actually want to say to you that I think it can be, and that's what we want to talk about, is if we pursue family health, this can be something that brings joy and richness to your marriage. It brings joy and richness to your kids' lives. It doesn't have to be a burden that you bear as a family that brings you down, but actually something that Jesus has called you to as a family that brings joy into your life. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Let me pray for us again, I know, as we get started. Father, I'm grateful for the men in this room who have put their yes on the table and with courage and faith are stepping out to reach people in their communities. And Father, I'm grateful that the men in this room also want to love their wives and their children well, and the families and their church plants well. And so thank you for that, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I just kind of prayed these things, but I want to start with these two things that I know about you. And it's important for you to know that I know these things about you, is that I know that you love your families and that your greatest desire is to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And to see your kids walking with Jesus and thriving, like I said. And I know that you are men of courage and faith, or you wouldn't have said yes to church planting, right? And so I want to start with this passage from Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39. You've all heard it, but it's going to be the passage we use today for this time. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We're going to talk about three buckets today. We're going to talk about your soul, your spouse, and your spawn. Guys, you know I had to make it three S's. It's your kids. It's your kids. We're going to talk about your kids. Your soul, your spouse, and your kids. Man started us really well last night with talking about this, that if we aren't serving from a place of deeply resting in who Jesus says we are and what God has done, then we will never be successful. When I first started here at Sin Network, Kathy Litton was on staff, and I want to read you a quote from her. I think we have it on the slide, too. She says, "Our outer world is visible, measurable, and demands our attention. Everyone sees this world. In your ministry, you are working for growth and gospel progress, which is not wrong. It's good, right? Yet, it's your inner world that drives loving God and loving others." So we're talking about our soul briefly and quickly because we've talked about it in several other sessions, but we have to talk about it because it has to be in our lives first, in order to talk about our family health, we must talk about our own souls first. And here's why. Because we are fundamentally receivers. We have nothing that God hasn't given us. You are not self-existent or self-sustaining, right? We have actually been given limits by God to show us that we are not God, that only God is God. The work you're doing, though, in church planting is super complex, and you literally have zero control over the results. You're not making a widget in a factory, and you can't serve longer hours to make it work, right? You can't control the hearts of men. You can only pray and do the work and keep going back and building relationships and all those things. So, if we're receivers and we're in this really complex work, I want to put a few of these thoughts together that I just shared with you. You're in this room, you have a strong desire to see the lives change, and you have a decent amount of hustle in you, or at least I hope you do, or this is going to be harder than it needs to be, maybe. So you're working towards church planting, you're working to see people saved, and you have zero control over it. So here's what can happen. You can give your every waking thought to this work, your energy to this work, your heart, your calling, all of it, your soul. And if you don't see the results that you're hoping for, it'll be a really big disappointment. Basically, if you attach your identity to the train of ministry success, you and your family will be in for a very hard and destructive ride. Your soul has to be anchored in Christ, and your identity has to be rooted in Jesus. There's only two places that we look for identity, and it's on here. First is horizontally, like this, searching and receiving reason for living from other places here, like this. Possessions, that's not a struggle for most church planters, right? Maybe your accomplishments, though, your career, your ministry, the success of your church plant, maybe your spouse, your children, the list could go on of ways that we will horizontally look for identity. And so the warning is that your ministry would be a roller coaster of a place to gain identity. That if you are trying to receive identity from your spouse or your kids, that will be a crushing burden that you place on them. And so your identity has to come from the second place, and that is vertically. Receiving our identity from God, from His love and acceptance, His forgiving grace, His constant presence, His power, and His promises. We were never meant to get our identity from created things, only vertically from the Lord. There's one more reason, one more thought I kind of want to wrap into this. So there's one more reason that we have to talk about your soul in this session on family health and make it a priority, is because what we're about to talk about, caring for your wife and your kids, I don't know about you, but the most important things can sometimes become the things that get pushed to the side. And this is definitely one of those things where you have the least control or maybe understanding. I want to ask you, how many of you feel intimidated by parenting? Yeah. How many of you feel intimidated by teenagers? Maybe you're raising teenagers right now, specifically teenage girls. Maybe are intimidating you, right? Does anyone feel like you have women completely figured out? Yeah, No, right? And so it is, you got it figured out. He got it figured out. That's right. His budget is high enough that he's got it all figured out. After this session, he will like all your tips, sir. Because I myself will let you on a secret. I don't always understand myself. So if you've got women figured out, then I would also like to know what is going on, right? But my guess is no. And at times your role as husband or dad feels even more complicated to you than church planting. And sometimes it is easier to run to things we understand a little more or we can control a little more. So here's my plea. Care for your soul, anchor your soul in Christ, because you have an important calling before you, and it's the one to care for your family, okay? I am really grateful for 2 Peter, which tells us that his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so what you're being tasked to do as a husband and a father, this passage applies to that, that Jesus has given you what you need for this task. So while I joke about it being really complicated and ununderstandable, it's actually not true that God has given us what we need in order to care for our families well. So it's only fair if I talk to you for a little bit about the world of women. So first point, first bucket we talked about, care for your soul. Before we move to the world of women, I want on this topic of your soul, I want to add in, we've talked about the prayer and the word, and Tony did an amazing job last night. Vance mentioned it. But I want to talk to you. I want to put it on your radar or just say to you that spiritual disciplines need to be a really important thing to you as a church planter. And not just prayer and the word, but like fasting and solitude and Sabbath and practices that maybe you haven't done in a while or aren't super regular rhythms for you. That's an area that I would really encourage you to get into and talk to other brothers about and explore and make parts of your life, because ministry will take everything you got if you let it. It'll take every second of your day. And so spend time in those things. Okay, so I want to talk to you for a minute about the world of women. It's really crucial for you to understand, and I don't have to tell very many men this, that you already know this, but your wife plays a vital role in your life and in the church planting journey that you're on. We can go back to creation and know that women are needed and play a role in your lives. Some of the most famous words from the creation account are the ones that God speaks to Adam when he says, "It is not good for man to be alone." You know what I like to remind my husband of, like, that was before sin entered the world, even, that was not good for you to be alone, right? I actually like to remind my husband and my children about this. I remind my children that chores are straight from God, not because of sin, but Adam and Eve had to do work and that they had good work in the garden, right? And so chores are straight from Jesus, not because of the fall. And I am a gift to all of you straight from Jesus and the chores I am giving you. That's what I love to tell them, remind them, right? So I love that. But seriously, these words, it is not good for man to be alone. They show up in statistics as well. Men who live alone, meaning sans the company of women, they die earlier. They have greater rates of depression and suicide. I'm telling you, women bring the antidote or the pizzazz that, humanly speaking, you were missing without us in your life. And so remember that she plays a vital role in your life and in your church planting journey. I don't think it's hard for you to remember that. I think most of you know that. I think you've been away for 24 hours and you already feel that, right? Oddly enough, understanding the woman you love and loving the woman you understand is greatly helped by having a correct estimation of yourself. Having a correct estimation of ourselves takes spiritual and emotional maturity. If you don't understand your own feelings or how to express them, you have got to start there. So I know I told you I was going to talk to you about women, but I kind of switched it on you. That was a little bit of a bait and switch. I actually want to talk to you just for a minute about to encourage you to figure out your feelings. And I know if you're over a certain age, you were like not doing it. And I promise I'm not going to talk about it very long. But if you don't understand your own feelings, you will hit roadblock after roadblock after roadblock in your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your kids, and relationally with people in your church. And so I want to recommend a book to you. It's called Voices of the Heart. It's written by Dr. Chip Dodd. He's a believer and a great guy. And it's a easy to read, not too mushy gushy book about feelings. I promise it's not mushy gushy. I'm actually not into that. I'm super grateful for his work because he is easy to read and helps you understand some core feelings. And so I would encourage you to start there. The understanding the woman you love and loving the woman and understanding the woman you love and loving the woman you understand is greatly helped when you understand yourself and your own feelings. And so start there. I've heard it said that we all walk into a room asking a question. And for men, they're often asking, do I measure up? And I've talked to guys about, I just heard a few, A few of you are like, oh, I've already estimated I can take every guy in here, right? Or I know the ones I can't take, so I'm sitting on the other side of the room, or whatever it is that you do and you already do, right? And then women walk into a room and they ask, who loves me? Who in this room loves me? I honestly think the longing behind the longing for both is pretty similar, a longing for acceptance, a longing for love. But there's a dance I see in ministry marriages because of some of this God-given wiring that we have as men and women. And I think this is especially true for church plant marriages. And that is the courageous risk that you are taking is exciting for you. And because you're about to show the world that you measure up and that you got this, and that God's calling is on your side and you're ready to get after it. But your wife is focused on vulnerable things. And this is a part of creation as well. Women are physically vulnerable in ways that keep our hearts attuned to vulnerability. Our entire lives, like things like pregnancy, childbirth, being smaller in stature, etc., those keep us tied to vulnerability. And this is a gift because women remember the vulnerable. If you watch in your church plant and ministries you've been a part of, it will often be women who bring up the vulnerable in your community. And that's a gift because then you can meet needs, share the gospel. That's a gift. So the same thing is happening in your ministry marriage. You are here to measure up and show the world what God's going to do through your ministry. And she is asking these questions about vulnerable things like, how are we going to buy groceries? And what does health insurance look like? And how are our kids going to feel because we just moved away from grandparents, right? Or the fact that they've been in a larger church with kids ministry, and now it's like they get me every single week over and over again, right? And on and on. And so there's this dance that can happen where she needs your reassurance to know that everything is going to be okay, and you are taking risks, and you know, honestly, logically, that you can't actually control the outcome of some of this. And so you need her support and encouragement as well. So here's the dance. You both have needs that sometimes rub up against each other's greatest needs. And here's my suggestion that I'm going to give to you is be vulnerable about your needs in this season with her. Let her know how much her words of encouragement mean to you. And let her know that you are scared of this not working out sometimes as well. And let her know that you don't always know what to do either. And let her know that her confidence in you means the world to you. I promise you, she will show up for you. She will see the way you stand taller when you encourage her. And she will show up for you again and again and again. It's unfortunate, but sometimes all of us need to be told what we don't know. I, for a very long time, did not know how much my encouragement meant to Dave. My husband Dave is a jack of all trades kind of guy. He always says he's like decent at a lot of things, master of none, or whatever that phrase is. And he's fairly confident. And so I was always like, what about this? What about this? What about this? And occasionally I would encourage him, and I began to see that, I'm not joking, he would stand up taller or be like, wow, that means a lot to me what you think about my sermon. And I'm like, well, you do a good job every week. Like, come on, let's go. We got stuff to do, you know. And it makes me really sad to say that I didn't know for a really long time how much it meant to him when I took the time to say, point number two was bomb. Like, I was convicted by it, right? I needed him to let me know. And so I want to encourage you that your vulnerability will help her know that you need her encouragement and that she will show up. I've never met a wife who wasn't moved by her husband's heart in need. Never, not once. And I've met some ladies who are in rough spots and pretty bitter. But when asked for encouragement, she's like, oh, I got that, right? And so that's a big encouragement I want to give you, is to let your wife know that her encouragement means a lot to you. Okay, and then here's some things that your wife needs from you. The first one is strong character. This goes back to us talking about your soul, right? She doesn't need perfection at all, but she needs consistent repentance and to see your desire to grow. So strong character. And then the second thing she needs is your attention. And I'm going to break it down into a few ways. Know her limits and how to protect her. Now, remember back to the beginning when I said women don't really like to be told what to do? And so this one is like, proceed with caution, okay? Don't say no for her. Don't say no for her. But know her and know her desire. Know that her desire to serve is great and that she may need your encouragement to say no at times. Ask her questions and help her know when to say no. Give her the freedom to say no. A lot of church planting wives that I talk to have said yes to a lot of things in their church plant, honestly, because she knows if she says no to it, it falls back to your plate in a lot of ways, especially in those early years. And so help her understand that she can say no. And then the second thing is help her know what brings her life. This is really hard for women. Often women will give up all their hobbies, their passion pursuits to care for children, work, serve in their church plant, serve their neighbors. Help by asking her what refreshes and nourishes her. And then help her make space for it. She needs your help to make space for it. Women typically do things for themselves last. They'll say yes to a lot of things, and then if there's time left, she might spend some time. About a year ago, our kids are getting older, and as we get drivers and things like that, we had some free space on a Saturday, and Dave said, what would be relaxing for you and bring you life today? And I truly, and this is not, I'm not saying like, oh my gosh, I'm so awesome that I serve people so much that I didn't know what to do. This is not healthy. But my answer was, I don't know. I don't know what feels relaxing to me, and I don't know what brings me life. I literally don't know. And if your wife, it's likely that your wife might answer the same. And so begin to ask her questions, give her space to think about it and pursue things that would bring her life. And yes, going shopping brings life. Yes, getting your nails brings life, but they don't bring true life, right? So it's got to be a little bit deeper than that. And those things are nice. Like, got my nails done like a couple weeks ago. Those things are nice, right? But what truly brings life and refreshment to her soul? Okay. And then the last one, know how to express gratitude. Pretty simple. Gratitude is powerful. Research backs this up all over the place, that when genuine gratitude is expressed to us, it lights up our brain's reward centers, it lowers stress, it strengthens feelings of attachment, and it boosts our motives to continue nurturing relationships. Gratitude is powerful. So actually, we are going to take a moment to do something that is honestly been a part of Send Network orientation for over 5 years. And you are going to spend 5 to 6 minutes writing a card to your wife. They're stationary in the middle of the table. Hopefully you have a pen. If not, we can get you a pen. Oh, there are pens on the table too. Jacob is awesome and put pens there. Here's a couple things I want to encourage you to do in this card. Be specific. Call out her leadership and mention ways that you see her sacrificing for the sake of the gospel and for your family. Thank her for doing the hidden work of ministry. A lot of what pastors' wives do is hidden, unseen work. So thank her for doing those things. And then seal the envelope up and write her name and your address on the front, and we'll collect those from you at the end of the session. We're not done yet. We're going to talk about your kids next. But we want to give you time right now to write your wife a card. All right? Okay, if you're not done, don't worry. You can finish at the end. Seal it, write her name and address on the front, and then we'll collect it at the end, and we'll put stamps on them and mail them for you. We want to talk about your kiddos. And again, I know not everyone in the room has kids, But if you're going to plant a church, you're going to have kids in your church. And so hopefully these are helpful for you. These are some things that your kids need from you. The first one is authenticity. Kids are incredible. Children, they have a remarkable ability to pick up on emotional tones and authenticity in others, sometimes more keenly than adults. I don't know if you've ever seen like a baby around a grumpy or older person. They're typically the first ones to look that direction and cry, that kind of thing. Have you ever seen this happen? Yeah. Maybe you're like, oh, shoot, what does it mean that babies always cry when they're around me? You know, I don't know. So let's start with voices of the heart and then move towards, no, I'm just kidding. but seriously, your kids need your authenticity, right? Children are less bogged down by biases, honestly, or preconceived notions, so they often see social dynamics with fresh clarity. Kids are the first to know if someone likes, appreciates, and values them or not, right? And so be authentic with your kids. They have a huge radar for fakeness, okay? And then the second thing is they need your intentionality. I want you to hear this with a lot of love, but also hear it as truth, that if you have a discipleship plan for your church plant but not for your kids, that should be a red flag for you. If you listen to podcasts about preaching and church planting and church growth strategies, but not about fathering and parenting, that should be a warning for you. Your kids need your intentionality. One of the things commonly reported by ministry kids is, my dad had time for everyone else, but not for me. And so, friends, be intentional, not with your development as a dad, with their development, and with your time. Be intentional with your development as a dad, their development, and with your time. I want to recommend a podcast for you, because some of you thought, crap, I do listen to a lot of preaching podcasts or podcasts about AI. Jason, just kidding. Jason listens to a lot more podcasts about politics than AI, probably. No, money. venture capital, right? We're all like, what? Venture what? That's what I say. I'm teasing him. But I want to recommend a podcast to you. It's called Raising Boys and Girls. It's a male and female Christian counselor who work with adolescents out of Nashville. Believers, not every guest they interview I would recommend to you, but there is a lot of gold in their podcast content for dads, and they have some specific episodes for dads, and so I would highly recommend that podcast. And then the third thing that your kids need from you is invitation. Invite your kids to be a part of your ministry. It sometimes takes more work to include them. I totally admit it and agree and understand that, especially when they're little. But the reward is worth the investment, friends. We had our first year of planting. Thursday nights, we spent having a lot of families in our home, a lot of families that we weren't sure where they were spiritually from our neighborhood or our kids' school. And we spent Thursday nights having a lot of them over for dinner. And so we would say to our kids when we have people over, hey, you got to pick up your junk around the house, right? But we wouldn't just say, hey, pick up your junk. We would say, hey, we're picking up the house because this is a night for ministry. We're having people over and we hope to have spiritual conversations with them and see where they are and if they know Jesus. And so be intentional and invite them to be a part of your ministry. And so it wasn't just, hey, we're cleaning up because I said so and mom wants this house looking like Disney on Ice in 2 seconds, right? There's a like funny Instagram reel about that. But it was, hey, tonight is a night of ministry and our whole family is making it happen. And so invite your kids to be a part of ministry and then celebrate what God's doing. And so what we were able to do because of Thursday nights is, you know, 6 months down the road, if I'll give you an example, Tammy and Paul came to dinner at our house. That was one of the first times we spent extended time with them, was on a Thursday night. And 6 months later, Tammy gave her life to Jesus. And so I was able to say to our kids, do you remember when Miss Tammy came over for dinner and you guys helped set the table? Remember when you unloaded the dishwasher? And remember when you cleaned up the living room so that the Camp Schroeders could come over for dinner? Miss Tammy said yes to Jesus today. And your ministry, you're a part of that. And so invite your kids to be a part of your ministry. Be intentional and invite them to be a part of your ministry. And then the last thing is they need your attention. Know and do what they love. And I'm going to add this caveat, even if you don't like it, right? If you have younger kids, let me just tell you that play is the language of children. And so you need to be playing with them, even if it's not your favorite. We sort of had a flipped dynamic in our house. Dave Parton is really good at playing. It's like his favorite thing to do. Like, you get out the little people and he was like, all the voices, all the imaginary story. And I was like, we are going to the store. I don't know what else to say. I was like so bad at it, right? But you just have to do it because it's their language at those young ages. And then as they get older, they move to other things that hopefully maybe you're more interested in, like sports or fishing or hunting or whatever it is, right? But there's a good chance that there'll be a lot of seasons where it's not something you're at all interested in and it's just something you need to do. An example from a couple years ago with our kids, this is almost 5 years ago. It was during the COVID era. One of our kids downloaded Pokemon Go, and Dave is right there, an awesome dad. And he's like, let's all get Pokemon Go. And I was like, literally rather stab my eyes out than get Pokemon Go. Please, no, do not make me do this. You know? And he was like, no, we're all going to play Pokemon Go tonight. And I was like, sweet, so excited, right? No, I was not at all. It ended up being like a whole thing for 3 months. Our kids still talk about, remember when we went to those parks and like got Pokemon Go? That was so dorky of us. And I was like, yes, it was. I was the only cool one who didn't want to do it, but all of you wanted to, right? They still talk about it though, you guys, that we played Pokemon Go together for 3 months. It was short lived, praise Jesus, right? But I want to encourage you to know and do what they love, even if it's not something you love. Okay, and the last one is know how to talk with them, not preach to them. This is a pretty specific one for you guys. I don't know if you know this, you're a preacher, and that is your tendency. This is talk, right? Typically in long form, right? And so be careful. Just be intentional and aware, right? Know how to talk with them. Know how to ask questions and listen and talk with them. This is, as they get older, especially encouragement. And so please care for your soul, care for your spouse, and care and show up for your kids. I use this passage from Matthew because, one, the Lord talks to us about loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. Your wife and your kids are your closest neighbor and your first disciples. And so that is our encouragement for you in order to have a healthy family would be to love them that in that way. Like they're your closest neighbors and your first disciples. And so we're going to spend some time, actually, it's really easy to come to stuff like that. And this is first breakout, so I had your full attention. It will get worse from here, second breakout, third breakout. You'll be like, this is a lot of information. And you've already sat through two sermons. So it's a lot. So there are full-size sheets of paper that say family health on them. Can I grab one of these? At your table, they look like this. We're going to give you 5 minutes to spend some time evaluating each of these areas. There's some questions on there for you. Again, if you're not married, if you don't have kids, skip over that part or think about that area, what you want it to look like one day or what you would like for it to look like in your church plant, right? But we want to give you some time to jot down some notes and maybe some next steps that you want to do at home. And after 5 minutes, we're actually going to pair up and pray for someone at your table, okay? Okay, guys, we're going to take the next 5 minutes and just have you pair up, just two of you. You don't really have a ton of time to share prayer requests, but you do have time to pray over each other's family and marriages. And so if you would go ahead and pair up with someone next to you and just pray over each other, ask God to bless their marriage, protect their kids, give them a love for the church, those kinds of things.